I think I'll get into the Word of God. Time is a little short. If you can open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. Lord Jesus, you help us once again. We could do nothing, Lord. We confess our helplessness. We depend upon you, O God. Open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I was saved, I lived for my own vision. I did what I want. I said what I said. And that was all. There was nothing more to it. Then I became a believer. And I see my example, my hero, my savior, Jesus, who only followed another man's vision, the vision of the Father. He didn't even speak a word of his own. It was only what his Father spoke. When he was in the garden, he said, "Not my will, but let your will be done." It was not for his vision or his comfort. It was for the Father's vision. That's what it was all about. And if you can look into the face of the marred man, if you can look at the crucified Christ, and you could still say, "I'm going to live for my vision and not as my hero, not as my Savior did," you have a hard heart. You need to repent. When I look into this beautiful marred man's face, and I see my hero, my example, my pattern, I want to give my life over for the will of the Father, for the vision of the Father. Can you see his face today? On my last trip to India, the God asked me a question. And this is a long title message, but I'm going to give it for this name of this message is this question. Are you willing to give your life to support another man's vision inspired by God? Are you willing to give your life to support another man's vision inspired by God? I'm serving under a man who has tremendous vision. And that was the question God was answering, asking me. Not to build your own kingdom, but are you willing to give your life to support his vision, knowing that it's me who inspired it? And make no mistake, Point Lookout, God is talking to you today, and he's rallying you together. And he's saying, are you willing to give your life, to make that meager sacrifice in your life, to support another man's vision inspired by God? Understanding when you come behind your leader, you're coming behind the Christ, the one with the marred face, the one who took our place, the one who only lived for the Father's vision. Joshua will be our example today. Joshua was a leader. He was a pastor, you could say. He caught hold of God's vision. But also, there are heads of households here. You also are a leader. And there is a fighter in every Christian, and Joshua was a fighter. So this word also applies to every one of you, pastors, leaders of household, any Christian who has any fight in you, who is not giving over to Satan, sin, and the world, this word is for you. We're going to look at Joshua. He's about to go with Israel to destroy Jericho. But right before that incident, he has an encounter with God. A visitation with God. We'll look at Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and see this visitation. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord I have now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. And right after this, we see Joshua getting his commission, his orders to take Jericho. We'll have 3 points today. Vision inspired by God, another man's vision inspired by God, what happens when you give your life to support your leaders. So first we'll see a vision inspired by God. The first point is God is ready for war. God is standing there and he has a sword in his hand. He's coming as the commander and he has a commandment. In the book of Revelation, Jesus has a sword in his mouth. He is ready with a word and he's ready to honor this church and trust them with the word of his mouth and go to war for his sake. Just like he did with Joshua and Israel. How did Israel get the victory? Was it their sword and their commandment, or was it God's sword and his commandment? We look to Psalms 44. I guess I'll turn Psalms 44. In this place, we will find the answer. Verse 1 through 3. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us that the deeds you did in their days, in the days of old, you drove out the nations with your hand. But them you planted, you afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. What God wants to do through this body of Christ is not in our own strength. It's by his sword. It's by his commandment that he commands victories. We're waiting on the Lord for his voice, and he will speak. But the question is, God is ready. Are you ready? God is standing there opposite to you right now. He's looking at you. Are you looking to him? Can you see him as Joshua saw him? Is there something burning in your spirit saying, now is the time I need to see God move? Or are you interested with other things? The pastor has challenged you, talking about what is popular in your life, with a quote on the board. If you want to see if the church is popular, you go Sunday morning. If you want to see if the preacher is popular, come Sunday night. You want to see if God is popular, come to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Is God popular on your list on the things to do? Are you doing everything else? You're ready to do everything else, but are you ready for God? Are you ready for go to war like he is ready to go to war? Blessed be the God, my rock, who trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war. Point two. Jesus is fighting for the Father's vision. Jesus is fighting for the Father's vision. I think it's so interesting here. He asked, are you for us or our adversaries? So he says, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Excuse me? This is Jesus. It's capital letters here. It says him in capital letters. Are you for us? God says, no, I'm not for you. You're not for us? No, I'm not for you. Well, then certainly you're for our enemies. No, I'm not for their enemies either. I'm not for your enemies. What are you saying? Then whose side are you on? No, you see, I've come as commander of the army of the Lord. I am not for your vision, and I'm not for the vision of the enemies. I am for the Father's vision. That's how I come. We come behind his vision. He does not come behind our vision. Here is the correct order. The good shepherd goes out before the sheep. We are the sheep here. Here is the good shepherd, and he's leading with his staff. Here is the order also. We are the army of the Lord. He is the commander of the army of the Lord. And he is standing there with his sword. We come behind him. That is the correct order. And we participate. We do not originate. At best, you will participate in what God is doing. Everywhere I go, I'm just entering into somebody else's labors. That's what I'm doing. I go to a church. I go to a little house. I'm only participating. I'm only entering into somebody else what somebody else is doing. All credit and honor and glory be to God. Same thing here also. You will not originate anything in this church. God is the originator. And at best, you will participate. And you will come behind as the army of the Lord, your commander, who's holding a sword. We will participate, not originate. He does not come behind our vision. We often want God to fight for our vision, purpose, and prosperity, making him our servant. Then we accuse God when there's no blessing. You think you can just go do your own thing without the commandment and the word of the Lord, and he's going to come behind you and bless you? Woe to you, O ministers of the gospel, who think you can do whatever you want out of your calling without hearing a word from Almighty God. And then when things don't work out for certain men, they come and accuse God and speak, and he didn't supply for me. Marring the testimony of Jesus. There's a man of God. I'd like to give you an example of how God will supply. There's a man of God in India. His name is Pastor Dharinikin. He's my teacher's teacher. An amazing evangelist in India. He's no longer with us. Pat Robertson spoke to him on the 700 Club. He said, I haven't seen a man like him in the Bible or out of a Bible. This man had surgery on his knees 3 times for praying so long, a minimum of 8 hours a day. The angels of God would come to him and literally answer his request. He saw Jesus many times, been to heaven many times. Some of you may not agree with this theology, but this is this man's experience. And so he says, when he was a banker before he came into the ministry, that every night he would pray to see the Lord Jesus and that he would encounter him. And one day, on the 7th year, his testimony is that the gates of his heart opened and he saw Jesus, and Jesus came and lived inside of him. Anywhere after that time, this man would go and 100,000 people would come to him without reporting that he's coming there. He would speak to 1 million people at a time. And there would be mass healings. This man said in his encounter with God, when his heart opened, that God took him to heaven. And he said one of the things that the Lord said to him, and he was negotiating for in this contract, I'll serve you if, is I don't want to serve because I see all these other pastors who don't have anything in India. And then God says they don't have anything because I didn't call them. I'll never do that. God always cares about the natural need and the spiritual need. We seek seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, and all those things will be added to you. First, we have to put God first. His kingdom first, not our own kingdom. When you put his kingdom first, then you'll see all those blessings. You'll see his purpose, and you'll see his prosperity. But if you're building your own kingdom and putting God first, we won't see any of these things. We'll end up accusing God and giving him a marred testimony. It's when we come behind Jesus and fight for the Father's vision, we see his purpose and his prosperity. Jesus says, I will not join you, but you can join me and fight for the Father's vision. Jesus is fighting for the Father's vision. Next point. With humility, we come under God's vision. I love this. With humility, we come under God's vision. What does Joshua do? He falls on his face to the earth. He begins to worship, and he says to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Joshua understands if you are the commander, you have a plan of action. Certainly behind the commander, there is a commandment. There is a word. And he humbles himself, getting the order correct. My Lord, your servant. You say, I'll obey. We come humbly to get orders, not to give them. We come humbly to get orders, not give them. If you could remember Psalms 123. Unto you I lift my eyes, O you who lives in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid looks to the hand of our mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. Or wait. Wait. Instead of look, it says wait in the King James Version. This man is looking, the psalmist is looking to heaven as a servant looking to the hand of the master or a maid looking to the mistress. So they're looking to the hand. In Asian cultures, how servants will look to the master's hand is for orders. They'll look at the hand. They won't vocalize things so much. They'll go like this. That means wash my car. Like this means go get my food. They're so sensitive to the master's movements that as soon as he moves, they know exactly what to do. How about you? Are you sensitive to the movements of God? Do you know when he moves just a little bit what he wants you to do? That's how we're to look to his hand. And if you notice, these servants and these maidservants, they're not coming to God to give orders. They're coming humbly as a servant, humbly as a maidservant, to get orders from their God. And right now I tell you, beloved, if you look to the hand of your God, you'll see that he has a sword and he's ready for war. That is the time and that is the season that it is. With humility, we come under God's vision. Next point. Once we come under his vision and commandment, he explains. We'll come under his vision, his commandment, and then God will tell us what to do. And so this, the word says from God's mouth to Joshua, take off your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. This is written here. It's also written with Moses. When Moses took off his shoes and came before the holy ground, that's where he got his orders to deliver Israel from Egypt. That's what happens on holy ground. Here also, Joshua is standing on holy ground, and he's about to receive orders in the next few verses of how to destroy Jericho. He's coming to come under the commandment. Now please, let us turn to the words of Jesus to take this a little bit deeper. John 15. And verses 14 and 15. You are my friend if you do whatever I command you. No longer I call you a servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all the things I heard from my Father I have made known to you. When you come on holy ground and you come under his commandment, you're no longer a servant, you become a friend, and he will not hide his orders from you. He will make everything known to you from his Father. He will explain things. Amen? But also on holy ground is the place where you come into an advancement in your intimacy with God. You will go from the status of a servant to the status of a friend. It's as if the Lord, that's holy ground. What do you think will happen on holy ground? You'll come closer to God. He'll speak to you. He'll let you know what's on his heart. And it's as if the Lord is offering you today. And in this season, there is a new thing. You will hear my voice. If you obey it, I will bring you on holy ground. I will tell you what to do. But not only that point, look out. What I will do for you is you will no longer be a servant status. I will bring you up to a new level of intimacy and you will know me. Will bring you to friend status. He wants to bring you in holy ground. Hallelujah. Once we come under His vision and commandment, He will explain. Now I need people with loud voices. This is the second part of the message. Another man's vision inspired by God. Does God fight for man's vision or God's vision? The Father's vision. Yes. Okay. Does God give man His vision? Yes. He gave Joshua His vision. Was Joshua the only one fighting for God's vision? No. Loud voices.
No.
Amen. No. Joshua and Israel were fighting. God gives vision to leaders and people fight for God's vision. My pastor's vision in India, Brother Manohar, is he has a church. It's a training center. We also have evangelism that's happening and book writing. That's my pastor's vision. And I understand all of those in detail. He's given a vision to my leader, and when I fight for that vision, I'm fighting for God. It's God. In the end, it's all Jesus. That's it. We are to submit under our leaders and the vision. Submit is not a word popular in any country, in any place. But the Word of God says, double honor to those who speak the Word. Double honor to your pastors. You know, the Bible also says that children are supposed to honor their parents. And we know that when we honor our parents, we're honoring God. Same way, when we honor our pastors with double honor and submit unto them, we are honoring God. Point Lookout Church, when you come under and you submit to your pastors, you are honoring your Father with double honor. Kemper Kids and Beasley Boys, it adds up. So here you have double honor for your parents, double honor for your preacher, for the preachers, and then also your parents. So that's triple honor you have to give them. And then you glorify your Father in heaven. If you do not submit underneath your pastor, you are not glorifying Jesus' face. You are rebellious. You do what you want to do. You have no part in the body of Christ. You're a freeloader. You follow your own vision. You follow your own kingdom. God will not bless you. Don't mar the face of Jesus when God doesn't bless you. One day, a man named Dathan came up to Aaron, came up to Moses, and challenges for leadership. You're taking all the responsibilities. They thought they knew everything. Things were better. God opened up the earth, and Dathan got swallowed. Got swallowed up. I would pray that there's not a Dathan among us. But if it is, let it be known that that kind of attitude is worthy to be swallowed up by the earth. And that's a far way down. It's a place that's very hot. Those very seeds to be in control when God has not anointed you in your heart is very hellfire itself. That's where it will lead you. Whatever fills you inside is your destination. If you're filled with light, you'll go to the light. But if you're filled with those burning passions of seeds of hellfire, that's where your destination will be. If you're in a church, the unsaid understanding is, I believe that the pastor is anointed by God, elected by God. I believe that the pastor is anointed by God, and I trust him to hear the Lord and lead us in the ways of God. And I want to say that I am grateful to be under Brother Kemper and Pastor Beasley and many of you who have talked into my lives. You've done a great job leading us. I am grateful. We are grateful. Hallelujah. We glorify God in you. And on the other side, I'd like to say we're trusting you. We believe without a shadow of a doubt, and we all hold faith that this new thing will be spoken, and it will be spoken to the leadership. When I was praying, I felt to share this with you. Hold back your opinion, but encourage liberally. You know, it's very hard for the man of God to hear from heaven when everybody is giving their opinion. Because now you can't discern, is this the voice of the Lord? Is this the voice of the Lord? No. Keep the mouth shut. Do not offer your opinion. But you can encourage them liberally. Text them. Leave a message. Encourage them. They need that. But for this time, unless you have a sure word from heaven, you know when you get a sure word. You know when you got a fire in your bones and you got to open your mouth. That's the time you share, brother. In humility, you say, brother, I feel I have a word from God. We submit under our leaders and the vision. Kingdom vision understands. When you come behind your leader's vision, you're coming behind Jesus. You're in the army of the Lord, following the commander. You're for the kingdom. Moving on. There is personal vision and leadership's vision. You may have a personal vision for your household. You may have a personal vision for your workplace. You also may have a personal vision in some type of ministry. But you also have to be faithful to your leadership's vision. You are a part of this church. You have chosen to come here. You are not flying solo. You are part of a body. You are living for the Father's vision. Because when you look at the marred face of Jesus, you say, how could I do anything else? Are you there this morning? God has spoken to me personally. I'll send you places and stir the body up. And other places will light a fire. That's the Lord's word to me. That's very difficult for me to say because you know who I am. You know what I am. But on the other side, I have the leadership's vision for the church, for the training center, for the house that he's building. I pray for that faithfully. Evangelism and book writing. Have personal vision from God, but remain loyal to give your life to support your leader's vision. Lastly, what happens when you give your life to support your leader's vision? In one line, I'll say the kingdom gets victory. What happens when you give your life to support your leader's vision? I want this to be very pointed. What happens when you give your life, in particularly, when you give up the things of life that we mark as mundane by lips, but we put the more important by priority by our deeds, sometimes? Only you would know before the all-seeing eyes of God. Let the Holy Spirit convict you. Squirm a little bit if you have things that are preeminent before Christ. If you're doing something else besides doing what you know you should be doing. I'm not saying anything in particular. Let the Holy Spirit search you. What happens when you give your life, in particular, and you sacrifice, give your life to support your leader's vision? The kingdom gets victory. Are you a self-made man or are you a kingdom man? For this answer, to go a little deeper, I want to look at another story where Aaron and Hur support Moses, and Joshua gets victory over the Amalekites. This is out of Exodus 17. So here, Joshua is told by Moses to go fight the Amalekites down in the valley. They're going to go fight. He's going to take some people and they fight. But now Moses is going to go up on the mountain with the rod of God, with her and with Aaron, who are priests. And as Moses lifts this rod of God, this is the same rod that he lifted up and the Red Sea divided. When he lifts this rod of God, Joshua gets victory in the valley over the Amalekites. When the rod comes down, there's no victory. Actually, the Israelites begin to be defeated. So the rod is up, kingdom victory. The rod is down, we're at a loss. The revelation that the Lord gave me personally was that you are the priest that support, but you're also Joshua. Okay? You are Moses and you are Aaron, and you are to support your leadership. You are to hold up their arms, encourage liberally, come behind them. What's the vision? You will help hold them, you'll help support them, but you're also Joshua. You see, what happens when you support your leaders is that you get victory. The kingdom gets victory. We need that kind of vision. You're not flying solo anymore, church. God is calling you in to do anything else, but to come before your leadership would be disobedience. The road is getting very narrow and the days ahead are getting very dark. And it's about to be the midnight hour. And God is coming. His foot's at the door. Will you be a foolish virgin or a wise virgin? Which one are you? You going to catch the boat and be in obedience, or are you going to miss it because you're building your own kingdom? What is it today? I say these things with the fear of God. When you support your leaders, you're also getting the victory. Pastor, can you put up one verse up here? Is that possible? I want Deuteronomy 33:12 up there. While he's putting that up there, please pay attention to the story I'll tell you. It will lead into this verse. I pray faithfully. I have a whole book. I'll explain a little bit about it in a minute that supports my pastor's leadership. Really, God is asking me to give my life to support. And at the end of a 10-day meeting during Passion Week, I prayed with a few men of God, and they spoke over my life, and there was a 15-year-old boy there, one of the pastor's sons. And as they took me back to the house home that I was staying, my host, right before I went up there, the boy dropped to his knees and said, "I have something to tell you," and I dropped to my knees also. And he said to me, "God said this to me when you were praying, but I didn't have courage to say. I wanted to get you alone." He said, "If you will carry the burdens of others on your shoulders, God will carry you on his shoulders." He had no idea what was going on in my life. So I got curious. I said, "Here is the prophetic word. Where is it in the scriptures? Because I feel it should match up somewhere." And then I remembered the blessing of Benjamin. Never before was there a blessing like this to any person. Deuteronomy 33:12. And by faith this morning, I'm extending this blessing to you. By faith, I believe that as you support your leadership and you carry their burdens, God will carry you on his shoulders. Or put it this way. Of Benjamin, he said, "May the beloved of the Lord dwell in security by him who shields him all the day. He dwells between his shoulders." What a marvelous thing when God says, "I'll carry you on my back. I'll carry you on my shoulders." And that's what happens, beloved. Make no mistake about it. Give and it will be given to you. Whatever measure will be measured to you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. And if you carry the burdens of others on your shoulders, God will carry you in between his shoulders. I extend this blessing to you by faith in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. The word support is used in the text here in Exodus 17. And it's also translated set office and faithfulness. You need to be loyal to support their set office. Nothing should throw them off track. That's prayers of protection. You want to uphold them. but it's also faithfulness with loyalty. Can you do that? Let me put it this way. God is asking you to do that. With faithfulness, will you come behind them? Will you support them? Support is one word, and faithfulness is the same word in the Hebrew. It has more than one meaning. Will you be faithful to support? Will you come under so that the pastor's arms are raised in this time so that victory happens for the kingdom? That is between you and Jesus. But isn't he worthy, beloved? When you think about what he sacrificed on Calvary, when you think about this death that he had in the spirit and in his flesh, I get on my face and I thank God every day for the stripes he took, for the pierced hands, for the pierced feet, for the pierced heart, for the crown, for the mocking, for the slap on the face. Tell me who hit you, prophesy. When I think about those things and the sacrifice that he did, it's nothing compared to what Jesus has done. Do you have that understanding this morning? Or has your heart been hard and calloused, and have you been drawn away to other things? That's the indicator. Are you willing to support faithfully the vision? I have a prayer book. It's not here. I meant to bring it. But I have pages. You see, God asked me this question. Are you willing to give your life to support another man's vision inspired by God? I was inspired by George Mueller, who made a prayer book and put all his prayers down with scriptures to plead before God. So I also said, this man of God did this, had a tremendous life. I'll take this also. My first page is all about building the house. My pastor's house. Once the house is completed, then the training center could start. I have one whole page of all prayers about building his house. Promises, like when you leave everything, now in this time, you'll get 100-fold. And now in this time, it says, first thing, house. It's the first thing you said, Jesus. It's after we leave everything. Now in this time, right now, you'll give him a house. You'll finish it. God, the training center has to start. Pleading before God, praying for God. His vision is my vision. Praying for the training center and what type of students should come. We just don't want any students. This man who had this tremendous following, Brother DGS, Mr. Derinikin, gave him a word one time. Whether you like it or not, God will start a training center from you, and he'll bring people from all around the world to learn from you. I am the first fruit. I'm the first one who's come. But now the training center is being built. The point is, I've prayed to the prophetic word. Lord, this is what you said through this man of God who is credible. I'll pray according to this word also. Also for book writing. So many beautiful words to write about book writing. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer or skillful writer. Lord, let his tongue, let his pen be a skillful writer. Let him, when he writes, God, the anointing should come on him. There's one verse that talks about the anointing come upon David's hand when he made the blueprints for the temple. I ask for that anointing. I'm coming behind him. It's cost me my life to tell you what I'm doing right now. To come behind him in evangelism and praying for him and serving. That's that vision. So now the Lord is asking you, are you willing to give your life to support another man's vision, your pastor's vision inspired by God? What I know is, I've been in this church for a while. Linda was here, who's married to Lenny. She had a vision for this church. She's actually one of the sole purposes that this church was preserved. She helped. But the vision she had was, she saw four wells in this sanctuary. And she saw all young people all around the sanctuary praying. Some type of revival was happening among young people here. That was her vision. Then, I was also here when Robert Stern was here. He prophesied, and he is a faithful brother in Christ. I believe next week, I think the third week in September, Some members from our church are going to see him, I think including Pastor Greg. He's a credible man of God. He has a credible prophetic voice. He said, this church will be the spearhead. That means you will be the breakthrough. God wants to break through. Many times it's been prophesied that this was used to be a lighthouse. It will be a lighthouse in the spirit. I was also here. I can't remember the exact words, but Brother Kemper expressed that he had a burden to touch at least 100 souls here in this community. Hallelujah. These are some of the vision. And I've been praying diligently, and I believe you have too, that God would put funnels in our pastor's ears, both in Pastor Kemper and in Pastor Joel's ears. I'm going to hand this microphone over to him. He'll come up and share with you. But I just want to pray a short prayer. And I, more than anything, I just want you to hold faith and believe with a few simple words. And you hold on to this belief. You will not let it go from you. Jesus said you have to pray and believe. Lord Jesus, you will have your glory. It will be no other way. Lord, you will speak to our leaders. We ask you, we hold faith, we believe. Lord, the vision will come to pass. We will write it down and we will run with it. Give us faith and sense enough to sacrifice for your name so that your face can be exalted and your vision completed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks, Frank. I just have to say that it's just kind of funny because you honestly want to know, for me, I am much more comfortable following than leading. I am so much more just, I think, in my own personal makeup, wired to just be so much more comfortable that somebody else has a vision and I can get behind theirs. And for whatever reason, the one scripture that always comes to mind to me is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says God is choosing the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that for whatever reason, he called me into the ministry. I was a Christian for 10 years. I didn't have any desire to be a pastor. And then after about 10 years, I got this burning desire to want to go into the ministry. And God just miraculously opened up an opportunity for me to pastor a church. And so here I am. And so recently now, in this last month, it's been kind of interesting. We've just kind of felt a stirring that God is stirring us, and the scripture that we got was out of Isaiah about a month ago that Joel read, and it said Isaiah 43:19. It says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And week after that, we just talked about how we felt like a lot of things have been happening. We've experienced a slow but steady decline in our church, as well as just what's been going around nationally and globally. And I said, you know what? It's almost like when a coach calls a timeout, and it's time to change and make new game plans. And we talked about that. And then so you came back waiting for me to reveal the game plan. And basically I told you, I don't know what it is. I don't have one, but I know God wants to do something new. And I know God has a game plan. And the only way we're going to find that game plan is by seeking Him. And so I've asked as best as people can, and you know me, I try to give as much room as I can, with especially New York people that have crazy schedules. But here's what I do know that God has put on my heart, that we would give as much seriousness to our attendance to the Tuesday night prayer meeting as we do to Sunday morning service. And that's where we're going to seek God. It may be hard for a little while. As we said, sometimes you come to prayer meeting And your favorite part of it is the final amen, because it's sometimes it's just dry. You know, sometimes we could fake a service. You know, you get the music pumping really good and there's emotions, but you can't fake a good prayer meeting. Either God shows up or he doesn't. And sometimes it's just hard work. And we have to be willing to do the hard work, that God's going to meet us in prayer and we're going to wait on him. He said that his sheep hear his voice. Well, let's seek him as a corporate body, and we're going to wait, and he's going to show us what he wants to do with this little church here. And however long it takes, we're going to wait. We do believe that he's spoken some things to us about discipleship, and we need to wait on him to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. Joel is going to talk about it on September 6th to start, but something to effect of in order to be a you have to, in order to disciple somebody, you have to be a disciple, and that everybody should be being discipled and discipling somebody else. And if that's really happening in the church, then things like, oh, what's their name hasn't been here for 5 months, because there'll be somebody that is discipling them, that is their accountability person, that's there for them. And how all of that is going to work, we don't know, but God knows. And we're going to seek him and see exactly what he has for us. So that's what we're going to do. My theme has been, you know what? The Bible says, call on the Lord. And we looked at scriptures and it said, call on me. And then there's these different promises that follow every time we call on him. But the one thing I do know is when we don't call on him, he's promised nothing. So we're going to call on him, and we're going to put the pressure on him. I don't really like the pressure of leadership. So you know what? I'm just going to put it totally on him. If God is real, then he's going to speak to us. And that's what we're going to do, and that's where we're at right now. I thought it was kind of interesting because Frank hadn't heard any of these messages, and he came to me and said, you know what, I have this message that I feel God's given me. I've given it at other churches, and I feel to give it this, you know, the Sunday you have me scheduled for. I said, sure, what's it about? And he said, about getting behind the pastor's vision. And I said, well, that's kind of interesting if you would have heard what's happened the last couple weeks. So I appreciate you coming and just speaking, Frank, what you felt God had told you. And I'm a lot more comfortable with you speaking some of those things than me, quite honestly. But I appreciate you being faithful. And we look forward to what God wants to do here. But we're going to look to him. So let's just do that now before we go this morning.